Well, we've got open lines now for you on Coast to Coast. Let's take our quick break and come right back and hit them hard and have some fun. And let your mind wander, by the way. Just let your mind wander away from things that are happening during the day and everything that's affected your life, and just have some fun with open lines. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Last hour, when we were taking calls with Phil Hall about his book and about the Bigfoot film, Terry had called from British Columbia, and I said, no, Terry, that's an open line call. So as promised, we have Terry back on the line for us. Hey, Terry, thanks for letting us call you back.
George, thank you so much for taking my call. It's a great privilege to contribute to your amazing program.
Thank you.
Now, I have a story about the hag. And it was so real, it still frightens me a little bit to speak about it. I was moving my mother to another state, and she had went ahead, and I went to take her furniture out from a senior's facility. It was, you know, five floors of elder people. And I knew that there was something going on in this place. I could just feel it. So I spent the night there, and I had a dream, and I was laying on my left side, and I dreamed that there was a woman sitting behind me. In fact, she looked like Elvira, or I couldn't see her, but I thought, wow, this is Elvira. This is going to be a good dream.
Yeah, Elvira's not too bad.
Well, no, it got worse. So what happened is I was very aware of this powerful woman, and her black hair began crawling over my body, George. And it, like snakes, and it covered my eyes, and it covered my lips and my jaw and my head to toe, and I'm freaking out.
But and this is this is a dream, right?
It's a dream.
Okay.
It's a dream, and so I'm getting very frightened, and I cannot move. I can't open my eyes. I can't speak, and I didn't even know I was dreaming at the time, but something woke me up, George. I heard a voice saying, "Who are you? Who are you?" And it woke me up, and it was my voice.
Your voice?
It was my voice.
You're talking in your sleep?
I'm going, "Who are you?" because I couldn't move my jaw. And, of course, I woke up, and I'm in a dark room, and I'm, so I moved to the living room. I moved right out of the bed, but that was a scary dream.
And have you ever had the real old hag syndrome, Terry, where this old woman is in the room when you're awake?
You know, I'll say no, but there have been a few times when I thought, what in the heck is this? And then it's gone.
Yeah, people have had that. I'm glad your situation was a dream. But if you've had the old hag syndrome, call in. When one of the lines open up and tell us about that frightening story, because that has happened to a lot of people. And when it's happened to children, the old hag syndrome, the children, and this thing apparently sits on your chest, and it's really hag looking. But these kids, when they grow up to be adults, generally get sicker than most people. It's really, really strange. Next up, let's go to Timothy in South Dakota. Welcome to the program. Hi, Tim.
Hey, George.
How's everything?
Well, I'm driving along here in South Dakota in my big truck.
All right. What are you hauling these days?
I'm a flatbed, and right now I'm hauling the people that loaded me. They called them donuts.
Donuts?
Donuts, but they're the sidewalls of tires.
Ah, okay.
All bundled together.
Huge.
Yeah. Yep.
What's up?
I was curious about, you know, the previous guest is these guys took that big camera with them in hope to film a Bigfoot?
They brought the camera in hopes of filming a Bigfoot. Now, what are the odds of finding a Bigfoot and you've got your film camera with you? So that's a little suspect. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And then you mentioned the thing about technology today. How come we don't have more pictures and videos of them? Because everybody's got a phone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they're good phones, too. And they take pictures at night. You can see some things, and you've got flashes.
Yeah.
We need to see more of this stuff.
You know, that was some of the, you know, that was some of the stuff that I was curious about, because I'm like, you know, to haul that 16-millimeter camera around, that's not light.
Hey, Tim, what's the weirdest thing you've seen on the road?
The weirdest thing I've seen on the road.
I'm sure you've seen hitchhikers, accidents, all kinds of things.
Oh, my
huh?
God. Oh, my God, George, in Wisconsin. I'm driving along. I see a car in a ditch, and there's a girl standing up on the shoulder waving her hands. And I slammed on my brakes because it was an accident.
Yep.
I ran back. The car and the girl were gone.
No.
Yeah. And there was a car in front of me that backed up also and said, did you see a girl too? And I'm like, you saw her too?
And there's no way it would have just driven away without you seeing it, right?
No. I mean, the car was smashed up big time in the ditch. And this girl looked injured. And it was at night. My headlights caught her. So, I mean, she looked injured.
I bet if you did some research, you would find that there was a fatal accident with a woman in that area. God knows when.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it freaked me out. I just stood there. I mean, I actually stood behind my trailer and went and said, I'm sorry this happened to you. You know.
That's freaky.
Yeah. I mean.
What would have happened had you gotten her into the cab and that happened?
I don't know if I'd have done that. I would have grabbed a couple of blankets out of my truck and draped her in them and immediately called 911 if it was an accident that did just happen.
Boy, that's freaky.
I mean, you know, and I've had other, another ghostly thing was my dad recently passed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I lost mine several years ago, too.
Not recently now. I mean, it was a few years ago. This was just after he passed. I forget where I was. I was in my truck, going to go to sleep because I was outside of the place I was going to deliver at. And he was outside my truck walking around. And I had a conversation with him.
Wow. Now, had you known he died?
Oh, yeah. I was right there when he died. I was holding his hand when he took his last breath.
All right.
But it was just weird. There's my dad. I had a conversation with him, and he's looking at me going, why do you got to pick all these cold places? Because it was in Minnesota, and it was snowing and so forth.
Oh, Minnesota. I lived that a year in Minneapolis. It gets cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I got out of my truck to see if he left footprints.
Did he?
No. No. I mean, that freaked me out even more.
Exactly. You want to see footprints. Hey, Tim, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Drive safely. Be careful out there on the road. Love you, truck drivers. And we do not support truck driverless trucks. Driverless trucks, no. And let's hope they never happen. I think that's crazy. Would you really want to drive next to a driverless truck doing 65 miles an hour? There's no way. One technical glitch, and it's going to wipe out the entire freeway. Barb's with us in Tallahassee, Florida. Hello, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hey, my comment on that is all the bus accidents they're having with kids. Can you imagine what would happen?
Oh, my God. It would be a disaster.
It would be terrible with the driverless cars and that. Yeah. Anyway, given that the snake has tried to eat the pigeon at the Wailing Wall,
uh-huh.
The red calf has been born. And they're finding fish in the Red Sea that's supposed to be too salty to have them, but their vents opening with fresh water. This is an appropriate ghost story. I was screened to get on Ghost to Ghost, but timed out. So I'd like to share.
Oh, you were on hold, weren't you? We couldn't get to you.
Hold.
That's right.
I'd like to share this. I had the job of chaperoning a bunch of church kids, girls, and they were fascinated with the little boys down the hall who had their chaperone. And finally, I got them to shut the door and come in, and I said, I'll tell you a ghost story or two. And these are real ghost stories from when I traveled. And It was my first trip to the United Kingdom, and I'd been on a very long transatlantic flight. And since I was worried about driving on the wrong side of the road, I'd hired a Blue Badge guide who met me at the airport, and we drove to Winchester. We were booked into a modern hotel in the city for the night, before going to the countryside like Cotswolds. I wanted to learn more English history, so I was reading a very dry historical fiction novel on the War of the Roses. It wasn't exactly Stephen King. I nodded off, but I awoke hearing what sounded like a moth in the lampshade. You've heard that, right?
Sure. That and little fluttering sound.
Yeah. So I leaned over and I looked. It was like a tick, 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 and I couldn't find any moth. Well, that's sort of in the back of your mind, you know. So I started reading again, and I drifted off to sleep with the light on. And while in my dream, I, you know, it's hard to tell if you were just so tired you couldn't move, or you were lucid dreaming and above yourself seeing and watching.
Right.
It's hard to discern what was reality, but I took it I was dreaming. I vividly saw the image of a greenish-white skeletal arm come through the wall, through the headboard of my bed. It touched the back of my neck with its fingertips and ran down my spine to my sacrum. At that point, I jumped out of bed, pinching my thigh to see if I was asleep or awake, and I was definitely awake. The whole room was filled with a roaring sound, like an invisible tornado was in the room.
I
was like, oh. I shook my head trying to clear it, and the tornadic roar continued, and I couldn't see anything. I thought about running down the hall, knocking on my guide's door, and jumping in bed with her, but I figured that wouldn't look too good.
Yeah, but it's safe.
Yeah. But she knows English. So I stood there and said, remembering my Bible, in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. Silence. Cricket. Whatever it was gone in a
minute. It worked? That worked?
It worked. So I didn't sleep anymore that night. I stayed up praying, and I read about the War of the Roses, and I slept in the car the next day. I did ask my guide, and I learned that the modern hotel had been built over the ancient Winchester Cemetery.
Aha. Uh-huh.
At that point, at that point, the girl said, Miss Barb, can you shut up so we can go to sleep?
That's a great story. See, I'm glad you got through. That would have been a great ghost-to-ghost night story, too.
I had another little short one about a truck driver.
How short?
Very short.
All right, go for it.
I used to listen to another radio station besides you guys. I would switch back and forth. It was like All Truckers. It was on the AM band when I was driving back from third shift at the hospital. And one evening, they had all the truckers call in with their ghost stories, like you did. And one guy said he was convoying with another guy, and they had agreed to stop at a truck stop and have dinner together. And they were telling the story on the radio about this route they were on, and it was like, the guy was just describing about the girl on the side of the road waving to him. Well, this happened and on this route quite often. And the thing was, she would get up on the running boards. And if they let her in the cab, bad things happened. So they had told the story, and they'd been listening to it. And they pulled into the truck stop, and the guy saw his friend fueling up. So he parked his truck, and he ran up, and he jumped up on the running board, and the guy threw the door open, ran out of the truck, and he didn't have his pants on.
Oh.
He's been driving without his breeches.
Scared the living daylights out of him, literally.
He thought it was the banshee coming in. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty cute little truck.
That's kind of cute. Thanks, Barb. Take care. That would be an interesting sight, to be sure. Gordon in Lakeland, Florida is with us. Hey, Gordy.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment on the show back on the 17th. You and me and Alan Collins collectively had amnesia and forgot, and it was mostly my fault. But, I mean, I carried the day that day. You were good enough to let me call in, but we forgot to mention H.R. 2366. Now, I know that some people are getting tired of this, but I would like to justify me repeating this and boring some people.
Well, you're talking about student loans, right?
That's right. Now, almost 10% of our total national debt, which, by the way, is around $20 trillion, and it's going to crash the dollar because we're spending more than we make. almost 10% of total national debt is college debt. And I mean the tax dollar makes or guarantees, that's not even counting the interest as well.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But here's the problem. Now, you have things like defense and Social Security, which are far larger, but these things can only be cut a little tiny bit. Of all the debt that can be cut completely out, student debt is probably the largest and probably the only one. And I can prove from the Bible, and I'm going to mix politics and religion, but you go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, and it's a measure of penny for a wheat in the King James. Now, at first, you're like, what in the world? That's confusing. But you look at the Amplified and look at the footnotes, a measure of penny, a denarius, is a day's wages is going to pay for a day's food. We're talking hyperinflation, probably because of overspending, contamination of the food, and governmental oppression, but mainly overspending. Now, my point is that you have always been good enough to let me announce my website on the air, and I've never betrayed you by posting something like porn or nude pictures or...
No, that's not you. Don't worry about that.
Okay, so now I'm GordonWatts.com. That's hosted by GoDaddy, and GordonWayneWatts.com, hosted by HostGator. Now, they're on two different sides. And alternatively, I'm Gordon Watts or Gordon Wayne Watts in Lakeland. Lakeland's between Orlando and Tampa. Now, what I want everyone to do is to remember to come and check out my website, and it'll have some resources on there. But here's what's more important than my website or me. I'm not self-centered. I'm the guy that almost won a Terry Schiavo case. I lost it 4-3 in the Florida Supreme Court.
Well, now, what do you mean you lost it?
Well, I went to court as an ex-friend of Terry Schiavo. Now, normally you don't do that, but let's say that you're in a jail in Texas and they won't let you have a lawyer and you're stuck in jail. You have no due process. Your best friend can come to court and say, I'm not a lawyer, but I can be his next friend. So I was
okay.
His next friend.
That's what you were.
Yeah. Well, now I almost was. I lost it 4-3. In all fairness, Jeb Bush, he lost 7-0, so I did better than Jeb Bush. You can Google Gordon Watts and Terry Schiavo if you guys think I'm blowing smoke.
Wasn't Terry Schiavo was the one who had no brain activity, right?
Well, she did have some brain activity. There were videos of her laughing. We don't know whether she could think or not, but she was smiling and laughing. I use the food and water argument that Jesus used in Matthew, either chapter 24 or 25. I think it's chapter 25. Jeb Bush, bless his soul, he used the feeding tube argument, which was not quite as strong. And ironically, it was the liberal justices, Barbara Perriente, who was the chief justice, that voted for me. Raul Cantero, who was Batista's grandson, that's the guy that got over.
Right. But they ended up pulling the plug on her, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. But worse than that, they wouldn't let her eat by mouth food or water.
No, you're right. They literally starved her to death when her body functions was still able to absorb nutrients. You're right. That was a horrible case, Gordon. I didn't know that you specifically were involved in it like that. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take more of your open line phone calls. Don't go away. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Open lines as well. Halloween is gone. Now we're on to Thanksgiving, then Christmas and New Year's fast. Hey, don't forget, by the way, Saturday night before you go to bed, it's the old spring ahead, fall back. Turn your clocks back 1 hour. We're going off daylight saving time. So those of you of the states that do it, and most of them do, spring ahead, fall back. So this Saturday night before you go to bed, because it really takes effect Sunday morning at 2 a.m., turn those clocks back an hour. It's going to get a little darker, a little quicker in most areas, but we're back to getting off daylight saving time. Back to the phones we go. Let us go to Matt in Eugene, Oregon, first-time caller. Hello, Matt. Welcome. Matt, are you with us? Well, the first-time caller is not there, but let's try our buddy George in Detroit. Sounds like I'm talking to me, George, whenever I do that. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hey, how are you?
We are talking to you, sort of.
I know, my doppelganger.
Yeah, there you go. The guy, I wasn't going to talk about that, but I want to talk on that and maybe touch on something else, a little bit about the political stuff. But first, the old hag thing. Now, when kids see stuff like that, kids are more susceptible to those sort of things, maybe their imagination, but also I think they're more open to actual spiritual reality. So when I was about four, maybe five, now we had an attic, but hardly ever opened it. And the attic was open finally one time, and then they did whatever they got down from up there, took something up there. I don't know what it was, but a couple days later, I'm laying in my bed, and it was like just 10 feet from where that attic door is, if that had anything to do with it. But I seen this old hag coming at me, and it's like, and she had a big pair of scissors.
And oh my God!
My toes off. I mean, this was bizarre. Even to this day, my sister says, "Remember when that old witch was trying to tickle your toes?" This is no, she wasn't trying to tickle my toes. She was trying to snip them off with a big pair of shears. And I woke the whole house up. You know, it's like, get away from me! What are you doing? You know, leave me alone! And it's like, what's going on? I says, this big witch is after me with a pair of scissors. Oh, you're dreaming. Go back to sleep. And I never even thought much about it until, you know, like a few years ago, I heard it on Coast to Coast,
yeah.
The old hag syndrome. It's like, wow, that's what that was.
That happened to you.
And I'm not a real woo-woo guy. You know, it's like, I being a Christian, obviously, I believe in life after death. I believe in spirits and demons and that kind of stuff. But I don't really believe in ghosts. I believe they're actually, you know, demonic spirits or the aliens, the same thing. They're impersonating, you know, ghosts and presenting themselves as your, you know, long-lost uncle or whoever, that kind of thing, to deceive you. But anyways, on the political thing, we are obviously in the last days, and we know that eventually there's going to be the Antichrist system, the beast system, and the New World Order, the cashless society, one world government, one world religion, and one world economy, cashless with the, you know, electronic and all that. And I'm just really concerned about our nation if the leftists get in there and, you know, this Tuesday get in power, because they want to go full socialist. We are a relatively socialist nation already, more than I think we should be. But if they get in there, they want to be socialists. They want this, and they've made no bones about it. You know, want open borders and want to do away with a lot of things of the Constitution, the due process, you know, and, you know, presumption of innocence. You saw that in the Kavanaugh thing and all these things coming up, and I'm really concerned about that, you know, that's the case. And what Lenin says, if you remember, about socialism, socialism is just a stepping stone to full communism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really concerned about this election coming up. And, you know, you can say what you want about Trump, but, you know, put away personality in the tweets and the, you know, crude talk or the over the top. It's like he's doing pretty good by this country, and he's trying hard to fight for America and stand up for America. And they've hit him like nobody before. I'm sorry.
Well, see, that's what's keeping him together, George. I mean, the things that he has done right are propping him up. His approval rating is 51% right now. But I think in without us being partisan, because we're not on this program, some people, you know, if I have somebody on who's conservative, we get accused of being, you know, pro-conservatives. If we have somebody on who's liberal, we get accused of being liberal. It's not that way. We try to balance it as much as we can. But by and large, I think what's going to happen long term is this strong country will win out again because of the people. And we're not going to go too far left. We're not going to go too far right. We're going to stay very, very strong. My biggest concern is that a rogue nation starts to do some stupid stuff, and then we get pulled into a third world war. That's what we have to avoid, George, and everybody. That's what we have to avoid. And hopefully these things will change. I would wish with our president, who has done a pretty good job in some areas, he really, really has, if he could just tone down some of the other stuff, he'd be clicking along. But because he does care about America's rights. He wants to protect things. I mean, this situation with this caravan of now 4,000, it's dropped from 7,200, but it could pick up again. It could go even lower. Who knows? Going through Mexico to come through, you just can't open the borders to everybody. We've got laws here. You have to go through a screening process. When my parents' parents came to this country through Ellis Island, they went through a screening program. They weren't just let into the country. Everybody that came in on boats, ships, They went through a very rigorous program to get into the country. They were identified, marked, everything. And that's what we need to do. We need to control it that way. You just can't open the borders and let the world come in. Unfortunately, I feel sorry for the planet, but you just can't do it. Here's another George, this one in Sheridan, Wyoming. Hi, George.
George, how you doing? There's a lot of Georges tonight.
I'm here. They're everywhere.
There's quite a few of us. Yeah, I just had an interesting story. I've been a police officer for several years now. And
thank you for serving. I appreciate that.
And thank you. I never had a chance for the military, but certainly appreciate everybody who has.
Thanks.
But I had an interesting story. I was in a previous employment. I was in a large metropolitan area and was dispatched to a cold home invasion type call.
Mm-hmm.
When I got there, it was a very humble part of town and a very humble Hispanic family, four family members, younger boy, younger girl, and the two parents. Got into the home, and they were very hard of English, and so the younger boy of 10 years old was doing a good job of translating for me. And effectively, what he described to me was, in his room on the far side of the house, he slept in his own room, his sister slept in her own room, and then the parents slept out in the living room to try and give their kids the best opportunities. And the little boy's room had the attic hatch in the closet at the foot of his bed, and when he was sleeping from inside the attic hatch broke apart into his bedroom. And as I started speaking to him, his father kept saying El Diablo, and I kept asking him, why is he saying the devil? What's El Diablo? Why is he saying that? I learned that the 14-year-old sister having a sleepover that night had a friend over who decided to bring a Ouija board to the house. Until I listened to the show, I never knew much about it. But I started paying more attention. And so the younger girl was saying they were playing the Ouija board. And when things started to get real spooky, and they didn't go into detail, but things got real spooky on the Ouija board, they heard running in the attic, and then the attic hatch broke open, and the boy woke up screaming. So I went over to the bedroom, kind of looked at it, and on my way over to the bedroom, I heard very deep, heavy footsteps inside the attic, and I was certain that it wasn't cold. There was now somebody still in the attic.
Whoa.
Called for backup, got the air unit there, was able to get a canine dog on scene. We surrounded the home. And I stayed where the attic hatch was to be able to try and catch somebody in case somebody was in the home. Able to surround the home, and once K-9 got there, K-9 sent his dog up into the attic. We could hear the dog doing the search in the attic. You could hear the footsteps of the paws in the attic. About halfway through the house, the dog cried out loud and whimpered and dove out of the attic back into the
house,
which was very uncommon for this dog. Handler got upset thinking somebody injured his dog, jumped up into the attic as safe as he could. And just kind of got quiet. I said, what's going on? He says, there's nothing up here. And so after we were able to get into the attic, the air unit says, hey, we can see you on infrared going into the attic. We don't see anything else, and we're narrating what we're doing. There's nothing in the attic. It's a simple A-frame attic, completely flat with a wood floor. And we kind of did a search. The guys outside said nobody exited, and the air unit could see the dog in the attic. It could see the officers in the attic, and nobody else was there. And we were satisfied. We searched it properly, and when we got back down, we heard footsteps running again, did one more quick search. Turns out there was nothing, and we opted to talk with the family and have them call their priest or preacher, because we didn't have really a fix for it.
You were convinced it wasn't physical, but there was something there.
There was absolutely something there, and it wasn't just me who heard it. There was another officer, and the canine officer, and another officer there with me. We all heard the running inside the attic. We all heard the footsteps, and we spent an hour searching what we knew wasn't there just to be certain, because we heard it, and the dog certainly reacted to it, but there just was nothing there, and the option for that was religious, we felt, and
yeah.
Gave them advice to call the preacher. That was the best thing we can come up with. So just
I bet that dog would never go back up there again.
No, that dog would never go back up, and I'll tell you, on any search, if a dog is scared, I'm not going.
You're not going to do it. Did you pull your handguns?
Oh yeah, we did. We suspected somebody was up in the attic, and so we treated that as if though somebody was invading their home and
sure.
such. And yeah, unfortunately, we were never able to find anything for that family. And I think we were all satisfied that something spooky happened in that house that night. And they were certainly satisfied. We did the search, and having the helicopter there, seeing us inside the attic, we were satisfied that there was nobody hiding up there, and there was no boxes even. There was no storage up there.
Would you have freaked apparent. Out if you had gone to the attic and seen a body of a person alive somewhere hiding in the corner or something like that?
I would have felt a lot better than how we left that house not finding anything.
Really?
If I had found somebody up there, I would have felt a lot better.
George, what has been the freakiest thing outside of that story that has ever happened to you?
You know, outside of that, you know, there's instances, you know, obviously there's dangerous things that we come across.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And things happen. But, you know, in terms of spookiness like that, there's a state recreation home where we're at now. And there's a story with some of the guys I work with that there used to be a camera system in that home, and alarms would go off. And when they would go to that home, there was one instance where they responded, and in the camera system on the dispatcher side, they could see somebody inside of the recreation hall in this building. When they went up there and responded, they had their flashlights out. It was very dark. The dispatcher saying, go 10 feet, go, okay, you're right on top of them. And everybody on scene saying, there's nobody here. No, there's a guy sitting in front of you in a chair. He's right there. And, you know, again, another instance where police officers couldn't figure out what was happening, but it was unexplainable. Just I think that freaks me out more than anything, because as a cop, I want to have an answer for everything, and where you can't solve it like that, but you know there's something going on, it's that's freaky.
Really is. Well, stay safe and keep doing what you're doing, George.
You as well, and thanks for entertaining us, Night Shifters. We appreciate what you do.
I love it. We've got so many police officers who listen to this program, who are putting their lives on the line every night for us, folks. Appreciate that. Every night. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Anytime you don't hear from me for a few months, you know I'm busy.
You're busy? And that, thank God it's busy and nothing else happened to you.
Well, I started an IMDb page on artificial intelligence and telling the story about my godfather, who was deputy chief of LAPD, and my grandfather, who was a body double for Edgar Buchanan. They were doppelgangers, which you already said, thank you. Perfect doppelgangers. And Michael Parks. What this comes down to is Brittany Murphy's murder. Her birthday is coming up on the 10th. Now, that was a deep state takeout. She was caught in the crossfire between the red deep state and the blue deep state. There's actually two factions of the deep state, one Pentagon and Homeland Security, and the other one intelligence.
But why her? Why her? What happened?
Jean Seberg, look her up on Wikipedia, was a target of Edgar Hoover. And my grandfather, working with my godfather, the deputy chief, Ron Frankel, he's mentioned on Dragnet. They outed him one day before they invaded the Black Panthers and four cops got shot. He is listed by name by then Chief Davis, Edward M. Davis.
And what's the name of the person we should Google?
Jane Seberg, Natalie Wood, and also Brittany Murphy.
All right, we'll do that. Do a little research on that. Maybe it's worth a show. I do not know. Let's go next to Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Would you like to hear about the flying night chicken first?
I would like to. I need one story from you, and go for it with a minute left.
Okay. When I was 6 years old, we lived in Virginia. We moved to Alabama, and I learned the word Mayflower. That was the name on the truck that brought our things here. Oscar was my pillow. And when we got here to Alabama, Oscar was gone. My mother told me, don't worry, the flying night chicken is going to bring Oscar. And the very next night, Oscar was here. And in those days, there was only one way you could get a pillow from Virginia to Alabama. You'd have to personally fly it or put it on a courier on a plane.
It was magic, wasn't it?